is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
The Albert Mohler Program, broadcasting to you live today from Port Gibson, Mississippi. I'm here at Chamberlain Hunt Military Academy. It's a fascinating place. We're going to have a conversation with the president of the school upcoming. We're going to be talking about some of the issues we've recurringly talked about on this program, especially the challenge of raising boys in this very, very confused age. This is a school that specializes in that. I have had the exhilarating experience of being here on the campus speaking in chapel this morning. We're going to be talking with the president, and we're going to be talking just about what he has learned in particular about the entire process of raising boys through this. And by the way, Colonel Shane Blanton is not only the president of Chamberlain Hunt Academy, he's also the father of four boys, so he's got a lot more invested in this than merely serving in this significant educational post. We'll be talking about that in just a moment. First, a review of some issues in the news. From Australia comes a report that also includes data from the United States indicating that the use of sex and porn services, in particular on the Internet porn services, is now the third largest cause of getting in debt for young men. Very, very interesting. You start looking at the unfolding of these issues, and you start thinking of the insidious way that pornography weaves its way into so many lives. It is now reaching the point that it's a major cause of debt. Young men having to go for debt counseling, having major problems handling their finances, and simply because they are overspending. Now, of course, in this therapeutic age, everyone wants to turn this into an addiction, but at least we do need to note that it is something like an addictive pattern. Any way you want to look at it, this is something that so many people get into and find it evidently very hard to get out of. It's another warning to us about the fact that pornography is anything but a victimless crime. And not only when it comes to those who are purveying it, I'm talking about legal pornography, that which this country has decided is legal. Just look at the moral impact of the use of pornography. Again, that report coming from Australia, but including data from the both the United Kingdom, that's Great Britain, and the United States. This week, of course, does mark the 35th anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Roe v. Wade, legalizing abortion on demand. And it's very interesting when you think about social setting to understand that the conversation about this is very different in different places. Among those who are concerned for the sanctity of human life, it is the 35th anniversary of a great national tragedy, a great moral tragedy. And we have to talk in terms of 35 years of abortion on demand. And when we are marking this, it can't be merely in years. 35 years, we're also looking at marking it, of course, by 50 million abortions in this country, over 50 million abortions. But those who are committed to the sanctity of human life will naturally find themselves thinking of this day as the observance, the commemoration of something very tragic, and also a moral prompt to us about the task that remains to be done in recovering human dignity and the sanctity of human life at every point of development. In this age, that is a huge, huge challenge. But if you're in a different place, if you are a proponent of abortion rights, you're looking at this as a 35-year anniversary of something you celebrate. And it is morally instructive to understand how some celebrate this. This is going to take a few minutes to unpack, but follow with me. The Yale Daily News, that is the on-campus daily newspaper at Yale University, published an article yesterday. So this reflects something of where the academic elite, both in terms of the faculty and in terms of the students, are on an issue like abortion. The Yale Daily News headline was, "Abortion Demonstration Marks Roe Anniversary." I'm just going to read to you, and I want to warn you in advance, this is pretty tough stuff, but you need to hear this, because this is exactly what's being celebrated in some sectors of this civilization. Listen to this. "Students who walked into the classroom on Tuesday night were greeted with models of the female pelvis, complete with all the rest, all the anatomical parts, and listen to this, and papayas on which to perform mock abortions. In commemoration of the 1973 Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, the 35th anniversary of which is this month, the Reproductive Rights Action League at Yale, known as RALI, in conjunction with Yale Medical Students for Choice, demonstrated different abortion methods and techniques, answered questions students had about the procedures, and encouraged students to be active in abortion rights groups during last night's presentation. The presentation was part of a week-long celebration." Notice the word celebration repeated, even in this news story, of the 35th anniversary of the landmark decision. Now listen to this. Two medical students, in this case Merritt Evans and Rasha Corey, they are members of Medical Students for Choice. In this case, Rasha Corey says she plans to become a gynecologist and she expects to perform abortions. They went on to describe one of the most common abortion procedures, manual vacuum aspiration, which, quote, creates suction to evacuate pregnancy. The technique's a good option, according to this report, because the device involved is reusable and relatively cheap. Now, listen very carefully. Worldview demonstration here, worldview on display. It's not as scary as it seems. It's just blood and mucus, said the female medical student, in this case, Rasha Corey, referring to the fetus. She said, quote, you'll be able to see arms and stuff, but it's still just minuscule, end quote. Reading on from the story, Evans and Corey, those are the two medical students, also explained the finer points of abortion clinic etiquette, including some potentially sensitive terminology. Corey said physicians performing abortions generally refer to the aborted fetus, the remains, as POC, an acronym for product of conception, and refer to fetuses' hearts as FH. Now, folks, that's just about as graphic as you can possibly get. You're talking about an unborn, a preborn human being. You're talking about its remains being referred to by a moral evasion, rather than talking about it as a baby who's been dismembered and vacuumed out of the mother's womb. You refer to it as POC, or product of conception. You refer to the fetus' heart as FH. Now, I hope that shocks you. I mean, I'm frightened to think that this wouldn't shock you. Evidently, it even shocked some of the readers of the Yale Daily News, because the story is no longer at the website of the newspaper. No explanation as to why it disappeared, but if you try to go there now, you're not going to find the story. Instead, you're going to find an updated story published today entitled Corey Clarifies Purpose of Abortion Demonstration. Now, here is really something significant to watch in terms of how this plays out on the sanctity of human life and on the abortion question. Just think about the moral evasion that is embedded in that first article, shocking as it is, in your face as it is, blatantly celebrative of Roe v. Wade as it is. They still refer to the fetus's remains as product of conception because they just can't admit the reality. But there it is. Well, evidently, it shocked even some people at Yale University, overwhelmingly pro-choice. And so Rasha Corey had to write a piece published in today's edition of the paper. She says this, and I read, talking about her talk, she says, it was on manual vacuum aspiration. We concluded the talk with a demonstration of the MVA on plastic pelvic models as well as papaya fruits to allow participants to practice and demystify, not trivialize, the procedure. When I was asked what the contents removed from the uterus with the aspirator looked like, I said blood and mucus, referring to products of conception, which are then carefully studied in a separate room, listen to this, to ensure the gestational sac and fetal parts, if old enough, are present, ensuring that the procedure was carried out successfully. Now, I just want to remind you of something. The report in the article that was taken down says that this is a woman who's training to be a gynecologist. One would assume that someone training to be a gynecologist would be going through all of this study, obviously a very bright person, made it into admission in the Yale Medical School, would be going into gynecology in order to see babies born. It's just, I think, morally shocking, even still. Even 35 years after Roe v. Wade, to imagine that a woman would be going into this field and dedicating her intellect, her gift, to the destruction of human beings in the womb. And then talking about it in this way. I guess in some sense there's still hope to understand that evidently this was shocking even to some people at Yale. Even in a place where abortion rights are celebrated, even when you have public celebrations of Roe v. Wade, even when you have events like this held by medical students and you have all these groups for choice on the campus, it's reassuring in some strange, weird, and minimal way to know that this was still too shocking. But I got to tell you what can be misleading in that. A part of the shock in this is that many people who say they're for abortion rights, they claim they're pro-choice and all the rest, they don't want to face the reality of what abortion is. And I think what these medical students did was to pull back the curtain. And I guess, I'm just going to go on a hunch here, that they probably underestimated the shock of what they were going to be saying. You know, those who deal with these things in terms of the history of Western civilization have to write about them in terms of historical progression. Those of us who deal with them in terms of trying to make these arguments in the public square have to deal with a public that is increasingly blasé and just kind of dismissive of the whole thing. But a story like this, every once in a while, makes us all look face to face at this reality. You know, if you can indeed talk about abortion, talk about demonstrating it on a fruit, a papaya, talk about celebrating this to the extent that you just tell people don't worry about it, it's just blood and mucus. You can talk about a product of conception rather than a baby. You can talk about a fetal heart is just FH. You know, it's just a reminder to us that when civilization reaches the point when this kind of thing is celebrated and is no longer shocking, you just have to wonder if we've reached the point of no return. We'll be back in just a few minutes to talk about raising boys in this very confused age. We're going to be talking with Colonel Shane Blanton, who's the president of Chamberlain Hunt Academy here in Fort Gibson, Mississippi. It's going to be a fascinating conversation. We will invite you to join us as well, and we'll be right back with the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
You know, the whole idea of a military academy is something that used to be very much a commonplace in America. Back in 1879, when Chamberlain Hunt Academy was established in Fort Gibson, Mississippi, it was hardly the only one of its kind. But I've had the privilege of being on this campus today and speaking to the cadets and the faculty and the staff here of this outstanding school. Fort Gibson, Mississippi is, it's a very special place, laden with history, and so is this school. But it's especially unique now in that it is also a boarding school, a Christian military boarding school for boys. Again, founded in 1879. Its president is Colonel Shane Blanton, and we're very pleased to welcome him today to the Albert Mueller Program. Colonel?
Thanks for being on campus today. We're just blessed by your presence and enjoyed you in chapel. Thanks.
Well, it was a real privilege, and I can tell you it's unprecedented in my life. I've never been in a place like this before. I don't think I've ever been on the campus of a Christian military boarding school for boys. But, boy, let me tell you just some impressions. Number one, I've never been in a place where all these boys, and you're talking about 7th grade through the 12th grade, immediately looked me in the face and shook my hand, said, hello, sir. I've never talked to a group that's more attentive, I think, in my life. And, you know, I'm just struck by this very unique experiment in education. I say experiment because to a lot of people hearing this today, they're going to think, you know, that this is a very novel idea. Of course, it has a deep rootage, not only in American history, but also in the history of the Christian church. How is it that you came to be the president here?
Just really God's providence in my life. To a lot of the things from being in a boarding school myself to in the military to just having 4 sons of my own and the desire to raise godly young men and the desire to do that with boys that we encounter from across the country and foreign countries as well.
Now, you are the president of a school you know is rather unique, and the number of boys being trained in a school like this nationwide would have to be very, very small. You're dealing with 175 boys and young men here on this campus. What you're about is, just from my observation, very special, and we've had the opportunity to talk about many of the challenges of raising boys in this day. But one of the things that concerns me, Colonel, is that so many of the man-making institutions in this culture simply disappeared. The role of the military in the lives of young men, the role of organizations like Boy Scouts, the authority of the teacher in the classroom, and especially when we're speaking about boys, most importantly, the absence of many fathers, leads to disaster among young males. And I'm sure you see a lot of that. The boys who are here, they're experiencing something very, very different because you bring a certain vision to education that is not likely to be found elsewhere. Can you kind of describe that vision for us?
Absolutely. I think it's rooted in God's word where it says, discipline your child and that there's hope and you're not a willing party to their destruction. God has entrusted these young men to us for a period of time, and to discipline is to love them. And so to be consistent, to hold them to high academic standards, to present the truth to them, to articulate the gospel, help them sort of formulate their worldview, and to really shape them in the light of discipline. You know, a lot of physical activity. We have a wilderness school attached that they spend quite a bit of time outdoors. So a lot of activity, a lot of rigorous academics. And so just really encouraging and helping plant the seeds for them as boys to become young men.
Well, let's talk about how radical this is, because I've been observing these boys. They don't have iPods. They don't have little video games they're carrying around. They don't wear pants that are sagging off their backsides. They're wearing uniforms. I was in the room as I was being shown around a quad where four cadets live. And, all they had was just some clothes lined up, some very neat personal items for hygiene, and a very well-made bed. You keep them busy during the day. Do they miss all those things?
Well, I think in the beginning, the first 30 days are very difficult, as you would imagine, just the process of moving away from those aspects, everything from TV to iPods to all of those things in our culture that seem to influence them on a daily basis. But after the first 30 days, the busyness of the way we, from 5 in the morning till 9 at night, and the rigors of their study, keeps them occupied, and he would be amazed to see what it does. A lot of parents say, well, Johnny's sad or those things. He's really not. You get to see that personality come out that he is happy, that he may not articulate it in that way, but that he smiles, that he begins to form friendships, and that you just begin to see him grow, that there's a confidence about him and that a sense of accomplishment in the things that he's come through.
To join the conversation, give us a call at 877-893-8255. There may be many of you out there who have your own concerns about how to raise boys, educate boys in this day, in which, frankly, the challenges are just spectacularly more difficult than even in recent generations. Those man-making institutions are gone. Respect for authority is largely gone. The habits whereby boys learned how to be men, these are gone. That's why you have the phenomenon now of adolescence going well into the 20s and the 30s. We're going to be talking with Colonel Blanton about why that is the case, and perhaps how parents, even without having their boys in a school like this, can think about confronting the challenges of the age and bringing out men from boys, calling them out and raising them. I think, Colonel, one of the biggest things I note, it has to be about the first thing you note in a place like this, is the word structure. This is a very structured institution. These are not kids who are waking up wondering what they're going to be doing during the day.
Absolutely no free time. They might think that they have 30 minutes of free time in the evening, but it's planned out. There is a purpose for every day and for everything that they do, from building camaraderie and esprit de corps to learning collective discipline, and my actions have impacts on others, and then shaping who they are as young men, and how do I do that in a group of men that are my peers.
They look really happy.
I would say that they are. They would tell you that it's difficult, and I think sometimes when, you know, some of the breaks that they go on and when they're at home for a period of time, there is a transition when they come back, and the world is very alluring to them and draws them in different ways, that we have a true adversary that desires to have them. And we know the truth, and we need to be very passionate about telling them and presenting the gospel and planting seeds, and that we need boys to become men, and we need that to happen across this country, not only here, which is a very small number, but in Christians' homes across America.
The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Talking about structure and order and discipline, physical exertion, and all the rest, I was trying to think about how to describe what I've seen here today. And from the vantage point of a boy this age, it looks a little bit like Disney World and nothing like Disney World. It kind of looks the way, because there's so much here. I was taken out to the training field where you have this massive facility, and all the climbing, the physical exertion, the rifle training, and all the rest. That just looks like an incredible amount of fun. I can't think of any boy that wouldn't want to do that. On the other hand, there is none of the commercialism. I don't see any kids with logo T-shirts on. I don't see people comparing whether they have the latest this or the latest that. And so, in that sense, it's still a very different place.
Absolutely. It is a set apart. I mean, I believe God has it here at Fort Gibson on the banks of the Mississippi River for a reason, that he's protected and kept this military school open as opposed to the 300-plus that have closed in the last 50 years or so.
Yeah, it's a very interesting day, and obviously as Christian parents are trying to think through educational options and all the rest, most of us are familiar with public school, homeschool, private school, Christian school, something like this, and even a Christian boarding school, even without the military component, is something off the screens of many people, and it'll sound strange to many people. I think that should lead to a good conversation. To join us, call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. This is the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
You know, going all the way back to Plato in the Western educational tradition, there's been the understanding that one of civilization's greatest challenges is channeling the energies of young men, young males, boys, into something productive, into civic order, into education, into leadership, into adulthood. This is hardly a new problem. I mean, after all, you've got Solomon writing his own son in the book of Proverbs. You've got all this instruction in the scripture about raising children, and in particular raising sons. But we're living in a day in which authority is being undermined. Parental authority has been surrendered by far too many parents. The kinds of things that are necessary in order to raise boys are often depreciated in this society. And then it's not just at the level of the home and the church. Out in society at large, the institutions that used to help make men have largely been eclipsed or in retreat or in some cases disappeared altogether. I'm here on the campus of Chamberlain Hunt Academy in Port Gibson, Mississippi. A phenomenal, very, very interesting place. A Christian military boarding school for boys, grades 7 through 12. Its president is Shane Blanton, Colonel Blanton, a former military intelligence officer who now has a job that has to be more challenging than anything he met in the military, and that is running a school for training of boys. He's also the father of four boys of his own. Now, we're welcoming your calls. We want other people to join the conversation. We want to invite you to call 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We got callers coming in from around the world. We'll get to those calls in just a moment. First, I want to ask Colonel Blanton, as he thinks about this, what do you think is the greatest challenge these days in raising boys?
I just really, they're the men. Where are the men? In that we, as Christian, as believers, are we doing what we should be? Are we praying? Are we in God's Word? Are we setting an example in front of our own sons, in front of the sons of other men? Are we leading by example? And, you know, General Patton said that there's only one type of discipline, and that's perfect discipline. And we know that to be true because God says He disciplines those He loves. And if we consider ourselves sons of God, are we setting that example for young men to follow? And I would say that it's lacking.
Yeah, and I would say that sociologically speaking, the greatest impediment we have thinking about boys in the future right now is the absence of fathers in far too many homes, with upwards of more than 50% of some boys in some communities having no father involved in their lives whatsoever. Let's go to Travis calling from Greencastle, Indiana, listening on the World Wide Web. Go ahead, Travis.
Yes, Dr. Mohler, thank you for taking my call. I love the program. Looking forward to seeing you in April at Together for the Gospel.
Wonderful.
As a father of three boys myself, I'm wondering if a military boarding school is more geared towards young men who don't have fathers, or would I be abdicating my God-given right to raise my children, abdicating that right to someone else by sending them to a boarding school?
I want to answer that question myself, but I got to turn to Colonel Blanton first and ask him to take the first shot.
Travis, I, as four sons of my own, and Dr. Mohler and I had this conversation earlier about my role as a father and then my role as the head of the school, definitely the blessings that your sons are going to receive are going to come through you. And so I would say that is your responsibility. We fit a unique niche to help boys become men. And, you know, what type of boys come to our school? And I would say they are from, some are from Christian homes, some are from divorced homes or different things, but it's boys that need the structure so that they can help and equip them to fulfill the call in which God has before them.
You know, Travis, I just want to amplify what Colonel Blanton said by saying that insofar as you're functioning as a faithful father in their lives, and I can tell from the tone of your voice, the excitement about being a dad, your excitement in having these three boys, and your concern, even reflected in your question, you're going to be investing in them in these years so that they should not have the same need perhaps a big change in their life towards structure. But that's not the experience of many boys. There are just a lot of boys out there who have not had a father, who have not had the blessings of having this kind of structure. And frankly, I think there are some boys out there who probably find themselves, whose parents find them, in a situation in which they clearly have some special challenges and they need the structure. And this isn't just like being at home. I can tell you from observing this, I don't think there's any home quite like this. I've never seen a place where boys are supervised so closely. They're structured let's put it this way. As the Colonel said, they may think they have 30 minutes of free time, but that's redefined. There are no iPods, no video games they're going to go play back in their room. They've got serious stuff to do. And I think that's one of the remarkable things about this school is that these boys have to grow up. They have to grow up very fast, and it's fascinating just in a day's time to kind of observe how that works. Travis, God bless you as a dad. Be a model not only for your own sons, but for the sons of others around you, some of whom do not have fathers, and you can have a massive impact on them as well. We'll be right back.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Moeller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Moeller Program. My guest today is Colonel Shane Blanton, who is the president of Chamberlain Hunt Academy here, a Christian military boarding school for boys in Port Gibson, Mississippi. We've been having a very fascinating conversation. We still invite you to join us by calling 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You know, Colonel, when I think about this, I just want to affirm that in a perfect world, every single family would be rightly ordered to reflect the glory of God, and every single child would receive the right kind of education, nurture, discipline, and care from parents as God's Word would command. But we live in a Genesis 3 world in which there are far too many parents who simply do not fulfill that responsibility, and there are also children who find themselves in special needs, and that really explains the existence of this school, does it not?
Absolutely. Just in listening to Travis while ago and some of those things, and we see anything from a homeschool young man who may be in the age of 13 or 14 all the way through to 16 and 17, but it's really, we wonder why it's in Port Gibson. It's here because it's away from everything. We're in the middle of nowhere. We're along the Natchez Trace, the banks of the Mississippi, but a way to get away from the culture that inundates us and that we struggle with. And so sometimes it provides an oasis for Christian families to help young men maybe for a period of time. Our average stay is about a year and a half to 2 years. So yeah. Really to focus in on them cultivating and growing into the young men.
Very good. We want to go to David calling from Knoxville, Tennessee, listening on XM 170. Go ahead, David.
Yes, Dr. Moeller, I would say that raising a boy requires attention, and intention simply doesn't cut it. And it starts with praying at home, and I pray with my son. We pray on our knees every day together. We read Scripture together and talk about Scripture. We limit digital media, and we encourage reading of all types and imaginative play. And we also get very involved with my son's teacher and make sure that his behavior at school is up to par. And I keep a poster in my shop with all the points that I need to remember and focus upon as I raise my son. So I have bullet points on a poster as a reminder.
Well, David, that sounds like a great system, and I really admire the model of fatherhood you just kind of articulated for us. So I want to ask you, how old's your son?
My son's 8.
All right. Well, you've started young, which is the way that even the Scripture tells us, as the twig is bent, the tree will grow. So I really do appreciate that. Colonel Blanton, what would your encouragement be to dads, not just the dads of your students, but to dads, Christian dads, about raising boys in this light?
To be consistent and to be involved. I think we need men to be involved in the lives of boys. We had that discussion earlier today, but as the caller has articulated, that he's involved in the life of his son. And that is key, that we need men to be involved. Not that mothers are not important, they're an essential part of that family makeup, but boys need men to become men.
Now, one of the things that they also need, quite obviously, as demonstrated in this school and elsewhere, and when I say demonstrated here, I mean in a successful way, is structure. The New York Times had a very interesting article just in recent days on the fact that so many young boys have such horrible organizational skills. It doesn't seem to come natural to those with the XY chromosome. The military helps young men to organize their lives. Different experiences in times past used to do that. Boy Scouts and everything else. But it seems that that's lacking in a lot of homes and in a lot of schools today. Tell us why structure is important for a boy.
I think it begins at very basic things, just taking care of those small elements that help us grow and to function in our lives daily. But the structure is that key facet. We are men under authority, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and we need that, and we need it needs to be reflective in everything we do, from our boys, how they fold their socks, to how their undergarments are folded, to the beds that they make, to how they go into the chow hall. That everything they do, we practice, we articulate why and how we want to do that to maintain the order in their lives, and also how it impacts others. That order and structure in your life has a dramatic impact on those around you.
Now, I think one of the things that I observe here that you're not likely to find in most other settings where you find boys is the opportunity the boys have to develop their own leadership. I mean, you really, looking at the Corps of Cadets, looking at the companies made up of the boys that live together, they really have a lot of self-leadership demonstrated here.
They do. They're organized into a battalion, which is four companies, but they're student leadership. Now, there are men that live in each of the dorms with them, but it helps them to become men, that they learn how to be leadership, that they've seen others. We talk a lot about good leadership and about poor leadership, that things that they would like to do and things that they see others do that maybe is not effective, and how it impacts those around them. And also using lessons learned from what others have done and maybe not done successfully, but so that they really have that time to become leaders. And I think that period of adolescence that you talked about, we're taking 12 to 17-year-olds and placing them in probably the largest leadership position and probably greater leadership positions than a lot of 29-year-old young men around
the
country.
Oh, absolutely. The four words that are used here, the most important that I see in the description of the school, Christian Military Boarding School. Let's talk about the Christian part of that for a moment. How would a Christian military boarding school for boys be different than a secular school that might also have a lot of young males in uniform?
Well, I think it's the aspect of truth, and it should permeate every aspect of what you do, and that the truth must be there, and we know that to be God's word, and it must be evident. So first we must articulate the gospel, and then we must help them using a lot of Proverbs, as Solomon articulated to his son, what it takes to be a man. And then letting that play out in the classroom. Our classrooms only run about 10 cadets in each class, so they have the chance to interact with their teachers, help them to shape and cultivate their worldview so that when they get out of here, they have to do an exit exam when they leave. And so the seniors must be able to articulate every class that they've had and what we believe and why. And then they must be able to recite the catechism and scripture memory that we've worked on. But it's really to help shape them and to do in becoming the men that they need to become.
It was really moving to have the opportunity to preach in chapel this morning. And I preached on a boy becoming a man, looking at the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, where he talks about becoming a man, putting aside childish things. I'm reassured to know that the Apostle Paul was once a boy and he had to grow up. And even of Jesus Christ, we are told he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Men aren't born as men. They're born as boys. The big question is, what's going to take that boy into manhood? And who's going to push him there, lead him there, take him there, pull him there, and help him to know what that looks like? We'll be back with final thoughts in just a moment. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Back in 1906, a book came out entitled America's Boy Problem. This has been an issue for a long time. Socrates himself was writing about the problem of educating young men, Plato. You can find it in the scripture, both in the Old and New Testaments. It's hardly a new issue, but I think it's newly complex, newly complicated, because we're living in an extremely confused age. And the evidence of that is the fact that we've got this period of extended adolescence. We have boys who are violent. The rates of boy failure in school are just skyrocketing. And, frankly, we've got so many parents who are simply saying, I don't know what to do with this kid. I don't know what to do with this boy. My guest today has been Colonel Shane Blanton. He is the president of the Chamberlain Hunt Academy here in Port Gibson, Mississippi. It is a remarkable place. Colonel, it's been a real honor to be here. Tell folks how they can find out more about your school, your website, and how to get in contact with you.
It's also on the web at chamberlainhunt.com, and or call the school for information. We'd be glad to send it to you, but located in Mississippi, which is south of Vicksburg, one of the major battles along the banks of the Mississippi River.
You know, I've learned a lot being here, and I've had some of the best conversations I've had in a long time about the challenge of raising boys, and it's natural here because it is the singular focus of the institution. And I want to come back and just say, as a word of encouragement to parents and to churches, if you do not make it an identifiable, prioritized issue, then it's simply going to fall on the cracks. And I think every family better be thinking about this. And frankly, even if you don't have boys, if you've got girls, you better be thinking about the young men they're going to date and marry. You better be thinking about the fact that in your local church, you need to be giving a high-profile attention to the raising of boys. And in this day of so many broken homes, one of the most important things that churches can do is make certain that we are fathering the fatherless, so that there is some opportunity for boys who may not have fathers in the home to have fathers in the home of Christ in the church, where they can find some leadership, some mentoring, some models. The difficulty, of course, is the whole issue of discipline, and that's why, frankly, we're reaping what we've sown in a society for so long. Colonel Blanton, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you for letting me be with you.
Folks, we'll be back to talk about this issue time and time again because, of course, it's a challenge to raise girls. But in this particular age, it seems like it's a far more complex challenge to raise boys. Just looking at the pathologies, you're just looking at the statistics mount. And you're also looking at a generation of boys and young men who are saying, where am I supposed to go? What does manhood look like? You know, if they find it nowhere else, be determined they find it in your home, and be determined that they find it in your church. We'll be back tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation. We always want you to join us. Feel free to write us at any time. We want to hear from you. Write us at mail@albertmoeller.com or go to albertmoeller.com, hit the mail button, and, of course, check out the weblog, updated articles and book reviews regularly. We'll see you tomorrow for the Albert Moeller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows.